You are listening to episode number 8 of Fresh Ubuntu for the week of September 10th through September 16th. Hello again, and thank you for joining me on this week's episode of Fresh Ubuntu. We have a great episode for you today. This is part 2 of Ubuntu Security, and this week I'll be talking about how to configure the built-in firewall that comes with Ubuntu, known as IP tables. And we will use a package called Firestarter, but before we get into that, let's go through some news, comments, and emails. Here's a comment from Peter M., and he said, "Hi, I was listening to your nice podcast while I was on vacation in Greece, and I took a chance to visit your homepage while testing the internet cafe there. I'm looking forward to listening to your next podcast. By the way, the link to the Ubuntu counter has a %22 at the end before the forward slash. Keep on podcasting. Best regards, Peter from Germany." Thank you for that little minor error there. For those of you who have visited my homepage at freshubuntu.blogspot.com, he was right. There was a %22 at the end of that link, and it didn't redirect you anywhere, really. My bad. Sorry about that. I fixed the link. You should be able to go to the Ubuntu counter website right now as we speak. Thank you to Peter for that little tip. And thank you for listening, Peter. Secondly, I have an anonymous comment from a person who said, "Hey man, love the show. I was looking for the link you spoke of that contained the 10 tips for new Ubuntu users. Anyway, I thought it would be useful to put on your blog. Thanks for the great tips, new guy." Yeah, I am frantically searching for it. I suppose I could do a search. I'll do a search on Google and have it up this weekend. For right now, I'm taping this on September 9th. Have this up by the end of this weekend. Thank you for your patience. I have another comment here from Zhao, Z-H-A-O. I hope I am pronouncing that correctly. My apologies if I have not. But Zhao said, "Through your podcast this week, I discovered equivalent Windows applications, and this gives me no more excuses not to abandon the Windows ship, except my laziness. Good work, and thanks." Zhao, I wouldn't be so hard on yourself. I think it's just we don't have enough information to make an informed decision. So, and that's, you know, half of the purpose of this podcast is to give information to those who want it. The other half is to help new users get more comfortable with their Ubuntu system. Thank you for leaving your comments. Again, keep up the comments coming. I love to read them. And if you do have a comment, I'll more than likely put them in the podcast. Again, I got an email from Peter Nicolaitis. If many of you remember, he was the first person to leave a comment on my blog. And he gave me an email. And he wrote to me and said, "Hi, Harlem. I think a great topic would be a discussion on GNOME versus KDE. Not in the form of a debate, but factual. What are the advantages and disadvantages of each? For instance, I usually just hear GNOME is too simplified or KDE is too cluttered, but GNOME can be tweaked out to be made more complex, read feature-filled. And KDE can be simplified so as not to be so cluttered, read crippled, according to some. I've always heard KDE bundles programs that GNOME doesn't, but I can still install programs such as Contact and Conqueror and run them under GNOME. So who cares? What's the real difference? What does each do for you? Does either do the things that the other does not? Are there any programs that run under one and not the other? And so far, despite what you'd think from the names, I haven't found this to be the case with any programs. and I think this would be a worthwhile discussion for new users. Best regards, Peter. Yes, Peter, I agree with you. And in the near future, maybe in the next couple of episodes, in the end of September or first part of October, I would like to revisit the GNOME versus KDE, not debate as you would say, but more of an informational type of infomercial kind of thing. It is a topic that needs to be delved in deeper. I think it is a worthwhile topic, and I will be visiting that topic again in the very near future. So thank you for your email, Peter, and thank you for your suggestion. And now on to some newsworthy items. Let's see, I got this off of linuxdevices.com. AMD has what it calls a personal internet computer, and it's kind of a Windows CE-based computer, and it's for developing nations, and they successfully booted Linux onto it. And this is according to a Siamese wiki devoted to one laptop per child initiative. Really quite an interesting thing. It's running actually, and the thing that makes this noteworthy is it's running at Ubuntu, and that is another distro, a very close cousin to Ubuntu and Kubuntu. Quite an interesting thing. Some of the features of the computer is it has a AMD Geo GX processor, has 128 megabytes of DDR SD RAM, has a 10 gigabyte hard drive, and it's got a VGA 1600 by 1200 resolution monitor with a LAN, four USB ports, and a modem. Again, it's about the size of the computer is about 3 pounds. And very interesting, running at Ubuntu, AMD's PIC or personal internet computer. Interesting. I will post a link to this website on my blog at freshubuntu.blogspot.com. It's something kind of neat, I think. Pretty soon they're going to have Ubuntu on. I don't know. They've already got Ubuntu on billboards, so why not handheld devices? And another news item about, not entirely about Ubuntu, but Linux in general. There is an optimized build of Firefox for Linux called SwiftFox. And I downloaded this, installed the optimized build on my Ubuntu computer. It's a nice little optimization. And again, the cool thing about it is it's optimized. It's an optimized build for Firefox. This was from the Linux extremist, an eccentric on the bleeding edge between madness and Windows. So check it out. Maybe even download SwiftFox for yourself. And one last item, which is not necessarily news, but it's actually a comic. Quite a funny one, actually. It's about the sudo command. It's two stick figures, one girl and one guy. And the guy stick figure says, "Make me a sandwich." And the girl stick figure says something to the extent that, "No, you go make it yourself." And so the guy comes back at her and says, "Sudo, go make me a sandwich." And the girl says, "Okay." So anyway, I have a link to that at my blog at freshubuntu.blogspot.com. It's from www.xkcd.com. The gentleman's name is Randall Monroe. Check it out. The link is on my blog. Again, freshubuntu.blogspot.com. And that is it for news and comments. And we will get on with the main part of our show. All right, in this segment, we are going to be talking about the Ubuntu Firewall IP tables. And again, this segment will highlight some of the things written in the book, Beginning Ubuntu Linux from Novice to Professional. The publisher is A Press, and the author is Keir Thomas. Remember, the firewall It's called IP tables, and again, it is hardwired into the Linux kernel. Now, it's a little complicated to get the IP tables configuration down, especially for us beginners. I consider myself also a beginner, as I'm always learning about all these new things. And so the book recommends a package called Firestarter, and that is what I'm going to outline today. So what you want to do is do sudo apt-get install Firestarter, and that will get that up and running for you. What you're going to do after that is, after you've installed Firestarter, you'll probably want to log out and then log back in so that the menu updates to show for Firestarter in the applications menu. After you've installed the Firestarter package, you want to search for it in the applications menu. Now, the book, Beginning Ubuntu Linux from Novice to Professional, will tell you that you'll want to go to applications, then to system tools, and then under system tools is the program Firestarter. However, on my system, I don't know if it's going to be different on your system, it placed Firestarter under the Internet menu. So before you do this, make sure it's in one of your menu systems, and you may be able to change it through the a la carte menu editor at some later time. But for this purposes, let's just go ahead and open up Firestarter. Okay, so you've got Firestarter started before it actually starts up the actual program. It'll ask you for your password. Another security protection. It will ask you for your password, so you'll want to enter your password. Don't forget, we are changing system settings. This is a system setting. It's the firewall is part of the operating system. In fact, hardwired to the kernel. So you get it up and running. You will see a window. It's called Firestarter. It will have the computer name up in the status bar, and the first time you'll do it, it will run a wizard. And once you get the wizard up and running, the first screen will tell you, the first dialog box will tell you, welcome to Firestarter. The wizard will help you to set up a firewall for your Linux machine. You'll be asked some questions. This is what it's going to do. It'll help you set up your system. Okay, so at this point, you will press the forward button to continue. On the next dialog box, it will ask you to select your internet-connected network device from the drop-down list of available devices. In most cases, it will, if you are running wireless, in many cases, it might be WLAN0. It could be ETH0 if you're running the Ethernet, or PPP0 if you are on a dial-up. Choose the one that is working for you if you are running a wireless connection, which I'm doing. I have chosen WLAN0. You have also two checkboxes. The first checkbox is start the firewall on dial-out, and the second checkbox is IP address is assigned via DHCP. Now, most of the time, when you first set up the firewall, it has default settings, and most of the time, the default settings will work for the average user, and most any user, really. So I have chosen to check the checkbox, IP address is assigned via DHCP, at which point I will press forward to continue with the setup. The next dialog box is the Internet Connection Sharing Setup. Now, this is the dialog box which allows other computers on your network, on your local area network, to use your network connection and a single IP address through a method called network address translation. Now, you can do this if you have other computers that are, say, not connected to a router or whatever, or only connected peer-to-peer to your network, to your computer, you could enable internet connection sharing, but I have chosen not to enable this internet connection sharing because every computer in our house has wireless capability and is able to connect to its to the wireless router itself. So I click forward. Go ahead and click forward to continue, and then the last page will be you're ready to start your firewall. Now at this point, to start your firewall, it will say press the save button to continue, or the back button to review your choices. There is also a checkbox to start the firewall now. So you can go ahead and check that checkbox and press save. At which point, the firewall is up and running, and your firewall is configured to let only certain things in, okay? And in a simplified way, it will only allow certain things in, and it will only allow certain things out through your internet access or your internet connection. So now let's configure Firestarter. Let's remember, whenever we are on our browser and we click on something on our browser, you know, we click on something on, you know, our favorite website, and whenever you click on something on a web page, the computer sends out a request to the data, the web server hosting the web page for data, and within a few milliseconds, the data will come back to you. And you know, your system, your operating system, is clever enough to realize that you're the one who requested this information. This request is coming into your computer from the place that you requested it from. It will allow that information through your firewall. Now, what about information that you don't request? Sometimes, you know, you have other computers connected to your network, and you have a shared folder, for instance. Those other computers are allowed to get files off of your computer, and you're allowed to get files from their computer. This is what the book calls uninvited connections. However, there are certain types that are useful, just like the shared folder idea in an office environment. You can configure those things. There is other kind of traffic, like outbound traffic. The default in Firestarter is to allow any kind of outbound traffic, as long as it's originating from your computer and sent out into the network or to the internet. And it allows this no matter what it is. And the book calls it permissive policy. But Firestarter can be configured to block the outgoing connections, apart from those you opt to allow through. Okay? That is called restrictive policy. We can configure Firestarter to do that. So let's go through setting some inbound rules. And in terms of inbound rules, the default is Firestarter will not allow anything coming in if it is uninvited. There are a couple of exceptions. People can ping you, do a trace route, that kind of thing. But for the most part, nothing can come in without you having invited it in or requesting it. Okay? But we can change that. And how to change those inbound connection rules is you should go to the main window, and you should already be there if you have your Firestarter still up. Otherwise, restart Firestarter again, and it will give you the main window. And what you want to do is go to the policy tab, and there are three tabs in the main window: status, events, and policy. Go to the policy tab, and then go down to the second window under the heading Allow Service, Port, and 4, and you'll want to right-click that, and a little pop-up window will ask you to add a rule. And if you have already rules up in there, it will also give you an option to remove a rule or edit a rule. Since you have just started Firestarter, you may not have any rules, so the rest of the options will be ghosted, and the only option you'll have is the plus sign, add a rule. So we go ahead and press on that. And then a dialog box will pop up under the heading Add New Inbound Rule. And in the first box under Allow Service is the name. This is the type of outgoing connection you would want to allow. If you want to allow, and it gives you a drop-down menu, and it will give you a choice. If you want to allow BitTorrent stuff in, DHCP, FTP request, HTTP request, Samba request, SSH requests. You can do that. That would be an inbound role. Let's do. I'm gonna do access to shared folders, Samba. Okay, and then in the next box, it tells you what port it's going to be in. It will select a port for you, and which you can alter. But I wouldn't. I would just keep the default port, of course. If you know the IP address of the computer that's going to have that incoming connection, you can put that IP address into the box, checkbox labeled IP, host or network, or you can just simply put anyone and then click add. And you have just set up your first inbound rule, okay? You can do that for any number of services that Firestarter allows. You don't necessarily have to do this. The defaults should be enough for the general user, unless you really know exactly what is going on between you and your network, you and the internet. My suggestion would be just to use the defaults. However, also feel free to, look around into the, get to know your firewall. Let's go ahead and start setting the outbound rules, okay? So we go back up to, we're still in the policy tab. We go into the editing dialog box with the drop-down menu. We choose outbound traffic policy. We have a choice to have permissive by default or restrictive by default. And just as with the inbound traffic, the default is the permissive policy, and it will let any kind of outbound traffic out. And that's cool for the average user. And, it's the one with the least, you have to configure the least, if you let everything out. So you don't really have to configure anything. But then again, there are ways in which you can completely control whatever goes out. So, and this is called the restrictive policy. And if you want to do that, you will have to check the radio button, restrictive by default. And at the bottom window, you will want to right click in there. And just as what we saw in the inbound traffic policy, you will get a pop-up that asks you to either add a rule, and two other options are ghosted. But if you wanted to add a rule, you would go ahead and click add a rule, and then a dialog box will pop up, and under the heading add new outbound rule, and the dialog, there is a name, allow which service in the name drop down box. Again, we see the familiar services similar to the ones in the inbound rules, BitTorrent, DHCP, DNS type of services, Samba. I'm going to go ahead and do a Samba one. And again, you have the source can be from anyone, a specific IP address, a specific host, or specific network. And after you have decided which one it will be, you just press add, and you have limited what traffic can go out. Now, a warning, if you are running a restrictive policy, you want to, at the very least, to do at least the HTTP type of thing. And this will make sure that your browser works correctly. You can get on internet websites and that kind of thing. Add a rule for your POP3. Would the book suggest add a rule for your POP3 and another one for your SMTP? That's for your email programs. Again, don't alter any of the port settings unless you really know what you're doing, okay? So make sure when you are finished with this, it's good in this instance to test the programs that would be affected and that use this service. For instance, you'll want to open up your mail program, open up your web browser, and make sure you're able to get on certain websites. Also, the book also cautions you that if you have an inbound rule that you created, you have to create a matching outbound rule to go with it, okay? So let's say you created a inbound rule for FTP. Okay? You have to create a matching rule, a matching FTP rule for your outbound policy. Okay? So, there you go. This means that firewalls are kind of a two-way type of street if you're being restrictive. Okay? So, do not forget that. So, if you are having trouble with particular programs not functioning correctly and they happen to use the LAN or the your network or your internet access, you may want to check your firewall settings. You know, as this can be, well, it could be one of the problems that is hindering you from getting either on the network or other people getting on your network, on your computer, if you have allowed them access to it. Okay? If you have installed Firestarter package, you have just added another layer of security for your system. This is a firewall, which is very handy, and I recommend having a firewall up for any system, really. So enjoy setting up your firewall this week. If you do, leave me a comment. Any suggestions, that would be great. Maybe something different that you did with your firewall. Also, this is not a wholesale backing of this particular package. If you know of any other packages that can help configure the firewall, and please do leave a comment on my blog about it, and let the ever increasing community that visit my website know about it. Again, it's that's part of the mindset here, is that we have a community, and true, maybe a community of new users who would want to share their experiences, the kinds of things that they find that they like. So please feel free to share that with us and the community at large. This is the Firestarter package. It is a tool to help configure the built-in firewall that is provided in the kernel. Okay, that should wrap it up for this week. One last thing about security and Linux and Ubuntu. It's not so much that our systems are in some way compromised or could easily get compromised. I think the whole notion of security and antivirus on Linux is really just to add another layer of protection for other computers using other operating systems that are more susceptible to malware. So we can consider ourselves another layer of security for the computing world at large. So that wraps it up for this week. Next week, I will be doing a book review of the book that I have been using lately, at least for the last couple of segments, Beginning Ubuntu Linux from Novice to Professional, by Keir Thomas. A-Press is the publisher, so stay subscribed. My address is freshubuntu.blogspot.com. My email address, if you want to send me an email, is freshubuntu@gmail.com. Thank you very much for being subscribed, staying subscribed. Spread the word about the podcast. Again, I am having a steady growth of new subscribers every day, and sometime in the future I will do a kind of a demographic study of what kind of traffic I'm getting, what kind of users I have from what parts of the country. That ought to do it for this week. Thank you very much. I hope you have a great week this coming week. Thank you very much, and have a good week.